Welcome to the Digital Agency Pros Podcast with Andrew McBurney, your host of Digital Agency Pros. In this podcast, we sit down and talk to CEOs, founders, and professionals in the marketing world and talk shop all things related to building an agency and marketing. All right, let's get into it.
Hey guys, welcome to another show. And today we got Eric on the line with us. Hey Eric, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Andrew. Excited to be here.
Awesome, man. So why don't you tell us a bit about where you or how you got to where you're at in your marketing agency?
Hey, thanks. Yeah. Well, my story is similar to a lot of other people's that I've met and talked to and heard. So I was running a summer camp and the camp needed a website. And it was, a maverick DIYer, weekend warrior. And I thought I can build a website. And so I built a website for the camp, and this was 20 years ago. And so then, you know, another camp wanted one. So I just started doing it on the side as a hobby. Fast forward, 18 years later, and had done a couple other jobs here and there. And my wife and I, a couple years ago, decided to add to our circus and go from two biological children to adding two adopted children. Hmm. And so we adopted internationally, and international adoption is and should be expensive. It helps prevent human trafficking. And we needed to raise $50,000. And at the time, somebody said, well, hey, I need a website. I'll pay you to design a website and you can put the money towards your adoption. And I was like, yeah, sure. And I mean, how much? And he was like, oh, how much would you charge? I was like, man, I don't know. And I thought about it. I had no idea. And I was like, $300? And he was like, yeah, great. And I told my wife, I was like, some moron just paid me $300 to build his website. Turns out I was the moron. So, now, I won't even really touch a website under $3,000. So I just did. And then after that led to another one. And before long, we had, finished our adoption debt free. And we said, hey, let's keep doing this and help other people with their adoption. So we decided to launch a web design agency called Coastal City Creative with the intention at the same time we launched a nonprofit called Achieve Adoption. And we use our business as entrepreneurs to fund our nonprofit as well. We have donors and things like that. But every single one of our clients contribute to helping orphans find a forever family. And so that's the story. And then, so we were doing that. At the same time, I was, we had left the camp and had planted a church, and things were growing with the church and going really great. And we decided we wanted to focus on our nonprofit. And at that same time, web designer reached out that had a 10-year-old established business with a great client base, and he was looking to sell, and he offered me his web design business at an unbelievable bargain. And so we bought that last June, and we installed a new senior pastor to take over day-to-day operations of the church in September, and we've been full-time. So we actually have Coastal City Creative is our primary is our incorporation, Coastal City Creative Inc. And now we have In Transit Studios as a DBA. Mm. And so we run both of those as two separate brands. And that's kind of the backstory of it all.
That's awesome. I love that. And so it sounds like you started picking up kind of these side jobs with a very cool purpose behind them to help you achieve your goal of adoption. And then that ultimately led you to the point where you're full time. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. And in that process, I started taking I wanted to learn to do things a little bit faster. And I was using elegant. I had started using elegant themes years and years and years ago. And I remember I used the Divi theme for a website, like the first week Divi came out. And then I walked away after that, and we did other things and, you know, planted the church and stuff like that. And when I got back into it, man, here, this entire ecosystem had blown up around the Divi theme. And so I started listening to a podcast, Divi Chat. And I just binge listened to it. And one of the guys on there, Josh Hall, has joshhall.co, and he has several courses that are extremely reasonably priced. And I took his, at the time, I think his cPanel course was like $97. I think that was the first one I took. And so I just started taking more of his courses. He has a great course on how to, you know, walk you right through setting up a maintenance, you know, a program, you know, a maintenance thing. So now we started getting this recurring monthly income for really what was very little to no work at all, you know, month to month. And I went, I want more of this recurring revenue. This is nice. And so I was just very active with the, with Josh's community, and he's got a Facebook group, and anybody that's listening that happens to be listening to this that might use the Divi theme has probably heard of Josh. He's got one of the largest Facebook groups for Divi. It's, you know, thousands upon thousands upon thousands of members. I don't know, in the tens, maybe 20,000 members at this point. Yeah. And he called me up and he said, listen, I've learned your backstory. I know you're why you're doing this. And since, so we take customer care very seriously, because the longer they stay engaged with us, the bigger impact we can make in helping children find a forever family. And so that's our investment to do to help families is by taking care of our clients. And so he wanted somebody to buy his client list and take over his clients that was going to continue to take care of them. So, yeah. So he offered me his business.
That's awesome. And then is that the same agency that you purchased last June that you mentioned?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That's In Transit Studios. So yeah. So In Transit is our client facing brand. And Coastal City is actually going through a rebranding right now. So the other part of this story is that guy that I built that first website for $300. He owns a promotional product. He's a promotional product distributor. Mm-hmm. So anything you put your logo on, he sells it. That's what he does. And after we did his website, he came and said, hey, listen, he's like, you know, now it was his personal blog. It wasn't a total rip off on, you know, I didn't get totally taken advantage of with it, but still, I still wouldn't do it for $300 today. But after that, he said, listen, he goes, I have this client that keeps asking me about website, and we tried to do websites. It was terrible. I never want anything to do with it. Could you do it for us? And this was before I knew there was such thing as white labeling. Like I was like, yeah, sure. Why not? And so that led to this whole thing that now probably about 50% of our clients come through this white label agreement we have with Hosseman Marketing. And so we are rebranding Coastal City Creative to be a digital marketing fulfillment partner for promotional product distributors. Mm-hmm. So we're going to have that niche site there. And Kirby and I are actually starting a podcast together specifically around that. And so that's going to be its own thing. And then on the other side, we have In Transit Studios, where we have our own client. That's our client-facing brand. So that's kind of our structure now.
I love that. It's so smart that you've identified that distribution channel and you're planning on kind of fleshing that out with like the I think the white label offer is just something that's so underutilized in the agency world in general. But then to go one step further and really identify that kind of that upstream partner to just consistently fulfill for, that's a really interesting model. when and how did you start? Like, was that just a pure chance, or were you like, we need to find somebody who has these? Like, was it really as simple as he just kind of like, hey, can you do this thing for me? And it kind of evolved from there.
Yes, both of those. You know, he said, hey, we need to do this one, and we did it, and the client was happy and he was happy. And so I just sat down and was thinking about like, okay, if I'm going to run this business, like how am I going to do this? Hmm. You know, how am I going to find clients and stuff? And I thought back to, you know, when I ran the camp, you know, like, it, you know, running the summer camp, while our user was, you know, kids, I couldn't go out and market to kids because no kid could afford to sign themselves up for camp or legally could even do so. And so I had to go to gatekeepers, which was the parent. Well, trying to go to, you know, get in front of 1,000 individual parents on my own was really, really hard. So then we worked back and we're like, okay, well, who's a gatekeeper to the audience we want to reach? Now, in marketing, generally the word gatekeeper is used to refer to the person that is in your way between you and the decision maker, you know, that you want to get in front of to pitch to. You know, so a lot of times, you know, a receptionist might be referred to as a gatekeeper or something like that. We use it very different in our marketing. And for us and our clients, what we do is we talk to them about, you know, who is a gatekeeper, who has access to the people you want access to. And let's partner with them. Let's work through them, you know, and reach out. And after I did that first site for Kirby as white label, I went and started looking like, how can I do this? And that's then when I discovered the term white label. Now we're going to start using fulfillment partner, because I don't have to explain what fulfillment partner means. White label, I always have to explain. Nobody understands what it means. So we experimented with white label, private label, and fulfillment partner. And I never had to explain fulfillment partner. So That's what we're going to start calling it now.
That's awesome. I love that you're doing that work and you're figuring out what's actually being understood by your audience. Because I find there's a big disconnect between tech companies specifically that sell to agencies and agencies, because it's like they'll throw away those terms. Like I remember being hit with a Facebook ad from Vendesta years ago, and it was just like, grow your agency. And it was like, oh, that sounds great. And then I clicked on it and it just jumped into talking about white label. And I was like, I don't understand what this is. And they were trying to sell white label software solutions to like increase revenue and make cross sells within the agency. Right. And I'm sure if I understood it, I probably would have looked further, but I was just completely confused and I just opted out of the page. Right. I was gone. And I love that, man. You're really dialing in a lot of those things that really matter when it comes to building an effective business. Now, in terms of, so you have the distribution channel with the promotion company, you're looking at how to get more of those. Now with the current one, is it like a quid pro quo situation? Are they gaining some money on the back of you? Like how are they incentivized to even care to send them your way?
Sure. So a couple of things we do for the agreement. So on maintenance and hosting, they get, you know, a percentage of that because they actually handle all of the billing for the client. And so we're able to generally, you know, they get about $15 a month out of a $99 a month maintenance and hosting. They get $15 of that. So they've, you know, built up a little bit of recurring with that. And then the other thing is typically on a website, we're able to at least get them 500. And he passes that on to his sales reps, sometimes more. Now we are about to be able to make a lot higher margin for them. Because we have been spending a lot of time the last 3 months, and even more very specifically, narrowing what our deliverables are, because there's a business coach, Mike Schmidt, that runs an agency, and he uses the term snowflake projects, and I really like that. He says, you know, imagine you look under, you know, you look at a snowflake under a microscope, and every single one of them is just a little bit different. And that's how his client work used to be. And it's how my client work has been up to the last couple, you know, last couple months. Like, we do a web design, and then, you know, well, can we also do this? And can we do this? And each one is so different that as I started to scale and tried to and started bringing on team members, it became really complex to pass on knowledge, standard operating procedures, because we'll build a checklist and this is our standing operating procedure. But well, for this client, now we're going to do well, but for this, we're going to do this. And so we've really decided, like, we just can't serve our, you know, we're over promising and under delivering now. And so we're going to be able to give a better product by narrowly defining, this is what we do for you, and this is actually going to be best for your business. So we're starting to, and I don't know if I could have, I don't think I could have done this at the beginning of my journey. And so I think everybody probably has to go through these steps of a life. I think every agency goes through life cycle, you know, there's a life cycle to it. And so I don't think I could have done this, you know, 2 years ago, 3 years ago. You know, I think now I can be like, this is what we're going to do. And trust me, we have hundreds of clients. We now can speak as the experts. You actually want to do this. And so because of that, our deliverability cost is going to be much lower. We can pass on a higher margin to our white label provider, or that we provide white label services for.
I love that. And that was actually one of the reasons why I got away from web design, was because I found it near impossible to kind of productize like you're talking about. But a lot of the other services, they're very easy to productize, like whether it's SEO or Facebook ads or whatever at Google. I'd be curious to hear, because you're, as you move forward, if I understand correctly, you're working to become that full agency, full-fledged, full service marketing agency. Now, with web design, if somebody hits you up, like there's, so like in the kind of the last year or so of my time running an agency, I focused almost exclusively on conversion optimization, right? And so it's like design, yeah, it needs to be on brand. Yeah, it needs to look nice. Of course, it has to have the correct information there and everything. But at the end of the day, we're not making decisions purely based on design, right? So I've had many conversations about, well, like, we don't want to change it because this is how well it's performing, and it's performing like X amount better than it was 3 months ago. And to make radical changes right now for no like scientific reason would likely be harmful, right? And mm-hmm. sometimes that's met with, I don't care, it's my business, I want to do it. Have you run into that sort of approach as you kind of roll out a more like productized service offering?
Yes. In fact, just yesterday, I had an initial discovery call with a potential client, and we were laying things out. And at the end, I just went, hey, I laid out our process and our benefits and what we've seen. And she was just very much like, no, I don't think that's right. And I just said, okay. I was like, I'm going to wish you the best of luck, but we're not the right person for you. Mm-hmm. You know, so our discovery calls are now, we want to make sure the client's a right fit for us. Like, I don't have time to deal with jerks anymore, so I just don't let jerks hire us. You know, and I want to help business owners be successful. And if they come in and they're like, no, like, she has a whole, like, and you understand, like, she wants to jump right to doing all of this content creation and a YouTube channel and blogging and all of this stuff. And in the past, I would have been like, blogging and everything. Yeah, absolutely, we can do that. But she has no foundation to bring people to. She has zero online reviews. You know, her, you know, social proof is non-existent. She has websites. She had a website like 15 years ago get hacked. And if you Google her name and what she does, this site still comes up, and whoever hacked, and she just let the domain name expire. Well, her name is on this now, still listed as the leader of this company, and it is selling like inflatable sex toys and all of this stuff. Mm. And she's a personal fitness trainer. Mm. And so I'm just like,
we need brand.
Yeah, exactly. Just a little bit. And I'm like, you know, we need to clean up your digital reputation. Mm. In fact, instead of hiring us to redesign your website for $6,000, let's start with some Google My Business optimization and reputation management. You have 700 emails of current and past clients. Like, we can take that, and for $250 a month, we can start, you know, using our system. You know, we'll start emailing them and getting you reviews. And she's just like, no, I don't want online reviews. Okay. But, you know, 93, according to a recent survey by Bright Local, like 93% of people surveyed said they read online reviews before making a decision. Mm. So why wouldn't you want this at a much cheaper cost? And then once we get that, then we can, you know, because right now you have a website that is sufficient. It's not great, but it's not the worst I've ever seen. You know, so sometimes now clients come and I'll be like, oh, no, yeah, we really need to redo your website first. And then we need to do online reputation. And then we need to get into either, you know, both organic and paid, you know, traffic through, you know, SEO, Facebook, you know, da, 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 da. But we've really kind of laid out this roadmap that's going to be best for your business. Mm. And that's who I want to work with. People that are like, yeah, I want a successful business.
Yeah, I love that. And that it's an interesting thing that you brought up, like reviews specifically, because I've used a ton of different companies when I was running the SEO as an SEO specialist for a few years. And last year I started up a software company that just does reviews. Right. And One thing we ran into very quickly is that small businesses don't care that much about reviews, right? Unless they really care about their marketing and they kind of understand all the things you're talking about, right? And So how, like, when I was running the local SEO campaigns, what I would do is I would sell them the SEO, because they would come and they'd be like, I want an SEO. It's just, I heard I need it and give me it, right? And We would just include the reviews. It was like, we're not going to charge you extra for this. We're just going to do this for you. We built it into the pricing on the front end retainer, right? And it's a frustrating but always interesting sales process whenever you know exactly what they need and they're just like, well, I want this other thing, right?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And we'll do like you just said, like if somebody's like, no, I really want this. Well, as long as it still fits into their roadmap, so we have what we call the playbook, and we create a digital playbook for every single client. Hmm. And it is this, you know, roadmap to local domination, and it's their playbook. And hey, this is what, even if you don't hire us, I have just provided you a, you know, 80 slide, you know, but an 80 page document. It's got about 80 some slides in it that it lays out for you. You know, we score your website, we score your online reputation, we score your Facebook, we score your, like, we give you all of these scores, and then we make a recommendation of, I would fix this, and then this, and then this. And then what we do is every 30 to 60 days, we can come back with another playbook meeting. And client, like, okay, so we did this and we said, we're gonna start with reputation. We come back in 30 days later. Hey, look, you just got 16 more new, you know, 4.5-star reviews, you know, or whatever it is. Now that we got that going, now we can talk. Now let's look at the next thing, which is a website redesign. Well, you just showed them all of this positive success and they start feeling momentum. And now they want to step into that. And then once we do the website, we come back with the when we show them the exact same playbook that they've already seen all along, and we're able to say, okay, now we've done this. Now we've done this. Now we should start doing some, you know, local SEO, you know, and doing all of these things. And that allows me to now come back every, you know, 30 to 90 days for an increased wallet share. Mm. And so I'm able to just turn what would have been a, $6,000 annual, you know, contract. And to, you know, by the end of the year, we're doing, you know, it's an $18,000 client because we're doing all of these other peripheral, you know, services. But it's just, and it took me forever to get to this point to have this. Like, again, I couldn't have started with this when I started out. There's just no way. But, you know, now that I'm here, I think you have to go through some of these iterations as an entrepreneur, digital agency owner.
I think so too, because like people don't just throw their wallets and credit cards at you starting out, but as you gain traction and reputation, you got to look for those synergies. And the way that you're doing this is super interesting, where you've managed to create that like a very systematized offer. I don't know if you'd necessarily call it a productized offer, but it sounds almost productized. And but nonetheless, very systematized. But then you've also plugged in an element to make sure that you're meeting the client's needs, right? In a very personal and custom manner, in the sense that you're grading them, right? That's a really cool thing you're doing, because a lot of people, I think, miss that kind of identifying the hot button issues at the start. And they're just like, well, here's what we do, and we're going to do this for you, versus being like, well, here's where you're at, here are the opportunities, and then here's what we can do for you.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really good. And I think you, like, so we've learned to position all of this, we've learned to position all of this as getting results of customer activity, you know? And so customer, cause as a business owner, as a brick and mortar, brick and mortar business owners, like, you're right, they don't understand why they need reviews, because they understand people walking through their front door. They're used to seeing this physical activity, customer activity. So we've moved away from trying to sell deliverabilities and you know, to really shifted the message to, hey, you know, we can start to show some increased customer activity by, you know, emailing or even sending a text message, or we can have it set up so the moment, like, you know, if you have a, like, if somebody has a receptionist. So I was talking to somebody the other day, and they're a mechanic, and they have a receptionist. And I was like, we can have on your receptionist computer. We don't have to integrate with your CMS, you know, or anything like this. You know, we'll just create a web page that she goes to, and every single time a customer leaves, she'll pull that window over, she'll type in their name and their cell phone number, they'll hit send, and by the time the person gets in the car, they've got a text message asking them to leave an evaluation. You know, but this is customer activity, you know, and now you've just had a touch point with this customer. And then we can, and suddenly that's when brick and mortar owners start going, oh, okay. Yeah, I get, they get that. And they're shaking their, you walk through this playbook, and this guy yesterday, like I took a guy yesterday through, this is very new to us, this playbook thing. And I was taking a customer or one of our clients through his first playbook the other day. And all along he was just nodding his head and was like, yep, yeah, oh, that's, oh, wow. And at the end he was like, thank you so much for this. And so that was really kind of cool. And he was like, let's go with it. Let's just implement your plan, just like you said.
Mm-hmm. I love that. And those are the best clients, by the way. But that approach to selling is so powerful, where you come in as a consultant, almost to the point where they should be paying you for that sales call.
Yeah. 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 And it took us a long time to get here. And I've learned all this from, very little of what we do is unique. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I want to give credit where credit is due, but one of our core values as a business, is the principle behind the practice. That's a core value that I talk about with my team all the time. And the principle behind the practice is, every time we see another agency having success, we don't want to copy what they just did. We want to ask first, why was that successful? What's the universal principle? Like, what's the human nature principal involved, Maslow's hierarchy of needs, what just happened there, and you know, all of these different principles and things of psychology. And we want to identify why was that successful, and then we contextualize it to our culture. And so, because too many times I would listen to podcasts, I'd watch a webinar or something, and I would immediately just start copying what they did, and it didn't work for me. And so that's why we've really, you know, made the principle behind the practice a core value of our business.
That's smart. And that's a really smart thing to ingrain in the company to kind of pass that on. Because I definitely struggle with helping people that I work with to understand that they can't just take things at face value, right? Where like I can run through a course and kind of like figure that out on my own naturally, just because I've been through so many courses, I've run so many campaigns, I've had so many mistakes, right? Yeah. But then it's like, if we're bringing in somebody junior, teaching them something, sometimes they'll just do things for the sake of it. It was like, well, we saw so-and-so do this, so we're doing it. And it's like, well, they're actually doing that to warm traffic. You're trying to do that to cold traffic, right?
Exactly.
Or whatever.
Yeah. And, no, that's really good point. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a really cool insight that I'm gonna look at how that impacts me and my company and how we can use that with on our side of things. Now, in terms of scaling out to making that transition from like website focused to more of a full service offering, is that something you're comfortable talking about and kind of what that journey's looking like? Because I don't know if it's even done yet quite yet, or if you're kind of in the process still, but I'm sure there'd be a ton of nuggets talking about that.
Sure. So on the web design side of it, I like to find, so all of my team are freelancers, 1099 independent contractors. And when I need somebody, I go to Upwork. And I come up with, so again, we have a few core values and a lot of axioms around our business. But one of our core values is shoot a bullet before a cannonball. And that means test before you leap, test something. So pirates used to carry, you know, on pirate ships, you've probably seen these, you know, miniature cannons, you know, at museums and things like that. Well, pirate ships would actually have these small cannons, and they would shoot bullets to target in to get the alignment right. And then once they got the angle and the degree, they would yell that out, and they would then line up the big cannons with that same stuff and measurements. And then they would shoot cannonballs, because you can only carry so many cannonballs on a pirate ship. You know, or an early, you know, early wartime vessels. And the first person that ran out of cannonballs, well, you dead. So if you don't sink the other person, you're dead. So don't waste a cannonball, because they were very, okay. Anyway, I think you get the point. So we've adopted that, shooting bullets before cannonballs. Mm. So I'll go to Upwork and I'll post a one-time project. And generally, so we have, In our business, so we've got pro, what we call pro sites, and those are a custom built websites. Now we have a backdoor offer called Simple Websites Made Simple. We don't promote this publicly. It's at the end of the proposal process. If somebody goes, I just can't afford the website. Well, then we'll offer payment terms. And if they're like, I still can't do it. Maybe they're a startup or it's a nonprofit with low margin, something like that. Then we'll say, well, we have this thing here. It's called Websites Made Simple. But it's not a custom website. Like you choose from a template, and there's like, that's you, what you get. If there's three blurbs, you have to come up with three blurbs. Like and if they're, you know, like, there's no wiggle room. You have to use this template. Mm-hmm. And a lot of, you know, and that catches a lot of those deals, because I ultimately want you on recurring maintenance and hosting. I don't tell my clients this, but I'll do your website dirt cheap if you sign up for maintenance and hosting, mm-hmm. because I want the recurring ongoing revenue. So anyway, So when somebody needs a website made simple, you know, we'll go on and hire somebody on Upwork to do that. Because if they screw it up, worst case scenario, I can still step in and fix it, you know, and not take very long to do that. But that's how we test people. And if they do the project really well and we discover working with them that they're a good fit for our culture, because culture trumps vision. You may have the best vision for your business, your agency. Like, this is the kind of business I'm going to grow. The culture of your business trumps your vision. So you got to hire well. You got to have a good team or they'll crash your vision for your agency. So we use Upwork to test that. And then once we may have them do two or three projects. And at the end, we'll say, hey, we want to move this outside of what Upwork and bring you on as a regular contributing team member. Mm-hmm. So that's how we've grown our team. We 3 months ago onboarded a UX UI designer. So the guy has no clue how to log into the back end of a website, which is fine. I don't want him to. But he knows great design and he knows how to design for conversion. And so our new process is we design in Figma, and he does the design, and it's upped our game, because when me or one of the other developers that was kind of, we wore multiple hats, we would come up with the design and then do all the development and build it out. You know, you kind of reach the point where you're like, this would be cool, but I don't know how I would do it. So you don't even put it in the design. Mm-hmm. Well, Maxim doesn't know how, we build 100% of our websites on the Divi theme. That way it's very easy for our clients to use it if they want to. And for maintenance and hosting, we have 300 sites on maintenance and hosting. It makes it very fast for me and my team. We don't have to go in and find something in the back. We know exactly where everything is. So that's why we use one theme. But Maxim does these designs now that we're like, man, that is beautiful. Now we have to figure out how to build it because the client just signed off on it. So it's really taken our designs to the next level. So that's been really cool. So Max now does every single design for a website. And then it goes into, I have three developers. I misspoke a little bit. One of my developers, Peter, is in Bulgaria. He's full time. So he's no longer a freelancer. We pay him a salary and he's our full time. He gets all support requests for maintenance updates, client updates, content updates on maintenance and hosting sites. And then he can build sites. He can take a design from Max and build it in Divi with no problem. And then we have Christian and Richard that can work on sites. Christian is, there's nothing that guy can't do with advanced custom fields and jQuery and CSS and HTML. I mean, the guy's he's amazing. So he only works on very high-end projects. Richard's in the middle and Peter's our newbie, our startup. So that's kind of the process. And then on the other side of it, so we are, in fact, I have an onboard meeting with her this afternoon. We have bought into its, I have to look again. I even told you this. I can never remember the name of it. So we purchased into what's called Agency Coach Sales Machine. It was an investment, but agencycoach.com. And they have a fulfillment partner that we're able to leverage for all of the other services for pay-per-click, Facebook management, Facebook ad management, SEO, copywriting. The quality is phenomenal. It's top-notch quality. And I've never seen prices for delivery so low. Mm-hmm. But the system, once you understand how they're delivering it and their model, and I don't know if I'm allowed to say what they are, because we literally have just signed up in the last, 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. So I don't know enough if I'm allowed to say who they're using. so I better not. But if anybody's interested, go to agencycoach.com. I mean, you get the whole playbook. You get all of that from the, it was an investment of, you know, $5,000-$6,000, but it's been worth every penny of it.
I love that. And the playbook concept that you discussed earlier, is that from those guys?
Yes and no. So we had it and we called it the blueprint. But mine was janky compared to, so they had the same kind. And the interesting thing is, like, once we signed up, like, it was like just affirming, like, this is the, everything they do was the direction we were headed. And so that's just been really kind of cool. But they have, I mean, the guy, Mike Schmidt, he's been running his agency Anchor Wave in Tucson, for almost 20 years. And he still, you know, is involved, you know, running the business. So anyway, it's been fantastic. So we just replaced what we were using, with what they have in it, because it's just much better.
Gotcha. I love that. And then, so in terms of things like SEO, and that sort of thing, it's easy to outsource in the sense that, not easy, it's a good idea to outsource in that it changes so quick and you really got to be a specialist, right?
Exactly. And they are special. Like, I don't have time to be reading, what is it, SEJ Journal or what, SEO Journal, whatever. Like, and the Ahrefs, because that's what I used to do. You know, I would try to keep up with all the like, I would spend an hour every morning going through my Feedly, you know, trying to read Neil Patel's new thing and Ahrefs and SEMrush and all the stuff. And I wasn't able, like, now I can either, I've bought that hour back, or now I can use it to work on something else with our business or our nonprofit. And it's just better quality. It just provides better quality because they're experts. But to keep the cost, the profit margin on it is ridiculous. But to do that, like, I'll just share, like, they're very open. Like, the review lead, taking, you know, managed Google reviews. My cost is $35 a month, and I sell that for $250 a month.
Per location?
Per seat. Yep, per seat. Now, right. you can go use Bright Local and do the exact same thing for $8 a month, but you're doing the management. Here, I go in, I fill out a form through through agency code. I just go throughout and I fill out a form, and then I've given them a branded review lead at intransitstudios.com. So when they then email out to the client, hey, we're going to have your kickoff and here's the information we need. And then, you know, stuff like that. Like, it's all white labeled, you know, it's all white labeled. And then they, you know, they get a CSV from the client, and you're copied on everything. So you see this. So they're delivering that for $35 a month. I could have gone out, found someone on Upwork, I know I could have, and brought them on and got them all set up, but I would have had to build the system, and, you know, it would have been hard to find somebody and pay them, you know, $30 a month per client when you're just starting out with one client, right? Mm-hmm. Well, this place, they've already scaled to the point where they're able to do this at this cost because they have everything in, and it's very systematized. And there's, you know, very thorough checklist and all this stuff. Like, I tell you, it blew my mind. And this is the way they handle everything from local outreach, you know, so you set up, you get, you work with the client and get 30 images. And you hand that over to through the agency coach system. You hand that over to them on the local outreach side, and they post two of those a month to the customer's Google My Business account. So they have multiple levels of, anyway, and it's the best I have found both quality and price. Mm. But I'll take the return on investment of $35 to be able to charge $250. I'll take that every day.
Well, especially with that managed aspect where they're reaching out to your customer on your behalf. That's a really neat, a neat angle.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really, it's been, like I said, it's worth. Now, some of the other ones, they're a little bit more of it rests on you. You know, like the if you're doing the local outreach. And so the reason we're doing this, so the whole reason we're doing this, like I told you, we're rebranding Coastal City Creative. So I was able to get a grant from our local economic development office. So I'm in Norfolk, Virginia, and I was able to get a grant from Norfolk Economic Development, a small business grant. And we wrote for the grant to cover the cost to rebrand Coastal City Creative, buy audio video equipment to set up a YouTube recording studio, hire someone to set up our new customer management and project management software that we bought through an a lifetime AppSumo deal. Mm-hmm. Love me some AppSumo deals.
I had to get off the mailing list.
Yeah, that's true. It can be dangerous. But the whole idea is we want to hire. I'm wanted to hire two salespeople. Mm. I was going to hire one, and a business mentor told me never hire one salesperson. Always hire two. They'll compete against each other and do better. So we're going to hire two digital marketing strategists, is what we're going to call them. And they're going to then be able to take clients and use this new fulfillment partner that we've connected with through Agency Coach. And I'm going to be like, so I'm looking for two people that are great with communication and like to follow systems. Mm-hmm. I don't need to go hire somebody that knows SEO, pay-per-click, Facebook ads. I don't need that. So because we have this fulfillment way to do that. So I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to be checking in with you every few months to see how this goes, because I absolutely love what I'm hearing. I think you've really checked the boxes across the board in this new business model, where you're coming from a business model that worked, but then you're kind of pivoting into a new business model just to expand your capacity, continue to recapitalize on the existing relationships, the past relationships, the future relationships, all for that really cool cause of helping more people get adopted, more kids get adopted. Like, I love that, man. That's really cool.
Thanks. And that's our driving force. So our goal, my wife and I'm a big set out a vision and, you know, I'm going to do it like I did it with the camp. I did it with the church. We're doing it like, so our goal was when we launched our business, within 10 years, to scale our agency to the point where we're donating $1 million a year to run our nonprofit.
Mm, I love that.
And so that's our vision out there. And that's the thing that drives us to keep testing and trying new things and providing great customer care along the way. And but I would tell you, I mean, I tested this agency. I did a bullet before a cannonball.
yeah.
They have a $29 Google My Business lead magnet that you can buy, and they'll walk you through step-by-step video. I had never run a Facebook ad before. And because my big thing, like a lot of agencies, all of our business was coming in via referral, which referral business is like the rain. It's going to happen. You just can't control when. Mm. And I needed a way, if I was going to bring on two people and they're going to be 100% commission, like they have to earn. Well, I want them to set them up for success. You know, I'd hate to bring somebody on and they fail. That means I failed. And I don't like that. So I want to set them up for success. So I needed a way to bring in leads that we can nurture. And grow our email list that we could go fishing in this lake of leads whenever we need it. Mm-hmm. And so I tried their $29 thing, and within a week I had 12 solid leads. And I've signed two of them as clients, and I've got one more meeting this afternoon. And I said, I'm going to do this for, you know, 1 week. And if it works, I'm going to call them up and say, okay, I'll buy the full program. And to go from zero, never getting a lead outside of a referral, to getting 12 within a week on Facebook ads, I was sold.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was whenever I was like looking to get away from referral only, that's where I turned as well, was Facebook ads, and took a course on it, launched the ads, and I think it was like 17 leads or something in 48 hours. It was ridiculous, wow. Right? And nice. The offer basically was something I actually wanted to ask you about this, but we don't have to go into detail because I know we're at the top of the hour. I don't want to take up much more of your time. I know you're a busy guy. But we basically ran the ad on a loss leader. So what it actually was it was an ad about remarketing, and how remarketing is just a no-brainer, kind of like how Google My Business is a no-brainer, right?
Right.
And yeah. We sold it for dirt cheap, right? Depending on the size of the company, it would, like if it was like a bigger company, we couldn't sell it for like $50 or else we'd get laughed off the call. But if it was like a small local business, it was like $50. If it was a bigger company, maybe it was $500, whatever. But something to that company, it was nothing basically, right? And it was enough to kind of get our foot in the door and build that relationship over that 30 days. So it solved that problem of kind of getting in there, getting that lead, but then also having a high conversion rate in terms of like kind of getting to show off a little bit to these people, right?
Yeah.
Is that something that you guys are doing, or with your sales process with these guys that are coming on, are you selling full out like retainers and full $6,000 websites? And obviously you do have those smaller offers as well if you need to pull them out. Or do you have some sort of like thing that you're like, okay, go sell a bunch of these and then we'll capitalize on the back end?
Great question. So it's a two-pronged approach. It's definitely going to be we're going to focus on our lead out there through the Facebook ads being on the Google My Business side. And we will help you set up your Google My Business for free if you don't have it. I mean, it's really not that hard. And so that's kind of thing. But we have an 8 steps to increasing Google exposure on Google, 3 videos that walks you through step by step how to claim, how to choose your category, how to optimize. And so it's a free, I mean, it's very thorough. Like you don't need us. You can totally take this and run it and find success. So that's the lead that we're using to get people into our email list. And then I'm going to run a weekly webinar that will keep pitching then into that lake of Facebook or of leads of email, you know, leads that we have. And then we're going to round robin those leads as they come in. So every other lead will go to one of our digital marketing strategists who can follow up with the whole goal to give a playbook, to be able to present a playbook to someone. So that's that side of it where they can then sell, you know, I mean, I'm going to do 50% commission on the Facebook leads. So if you're a digital marketing strategist with us and you sell a Google My Business review management, you know, you're going to get over $100 a month recurring, you know. Well, if you can do, you know, one of those a week, by the end of the year, you've got a nice little bit of recurring revenue buildup, you know, monthly. Plus then commission on websites, SEO, copywriting, yada, yada, yada. Then the second part of it is we're going to require that they do that. We call it, you know, association domination. So another way that I grew the Coastal City Creative before I bought In Transit was I joined our local business association. Now this is really good, Andrew. I think especially for people that are starting out, go join your local business association, and your chamber of commerce, but look and see if you have a local business association. I joined. Their website was abysmal. And I said, I'll tell you what, I will sponsor a new website for you. But I think that the business association should have a podcast, and members get interviewed for this podcast to talk about their business and to talk about our area. So we're in Ocean View. So we named the podcast Discover OV. Our members can get, you know, interviewed for free, and we put this out there and we promote it to tourists and to locals, you know, for your, you know, your restaurant or whatever. Well, then I said, and I'll tell you what, I'll host it for you. You guys don't worry. I can host it. I'll pay for every, it's $7 a month on Libsyn, whatever. Well, I did, after the first 12 episodes, I landed 8 new clients because I was getting to go in, talk to them about their business, interview them for this. And they're like, so what do you do? You know, after we're done recording, oh, I own a website business. I do website design. I need a new website. And I mean, that was the thing that got us really going as a legitimate business, was doing that.
That's very
so smart. We're going to require our digital marketing strategist to do the exact same thing, to go to be in, you know, their BNI group, Chamber of Commerce, but we're going to set them up with keynote speeches and webinars so they can go in and just add crazy value to the other businesses and establish yourself as the, at least the representative of, but to establish yourself as an authority in this. And so that's going to be one way for them to get leads. And then we're going to be putting out my, so as soon as I can move sales and project management onto them, I'm going to focus solely on providing webinars and a YouTube channel. And I'm going to start doing all tons of, you know, content creation, content marketing, all lead generation work. That's what I'm going to do as the business owner. I'm going to generate leads because now I've been able to pass off project. I don't have to do project management, or I still have to project manage, but I don't have to do the work. I've offloaded fulfillment. Now over the next 3 months, I want to offload sales, and then I'm going to be in my sweet spot, which is lead gen. That's kind of our roadmap for the rest of this year.
That's really cool. I've never heard anybody talk about that strategy before.
Yeah, I haven't. I haven't, and I've had a couple people try it, friends, and they love it. You know, because it just works. You know, and it's easy to record a podcast. You know, I have 5 questions. I ask the exact same questions every single time. But then I get to tour, and when new business, like there's a new restaurant in our area that just joined the business association, and I'm going to be in their kitchen next week talking with the owner.
Nice.
And yeah, so I get to see these businesses, and I'm building local relations. And now it's cool because last week our business association, you know, we had a luau. You know, we live, you know, we're here at the ocean, so we had a luau, and you know, my wife and kids and I went, you know, so the 6 of us went, and it was all other local business owners and their spouses and their kids. And it was great. You know, it's become our community and our friends. And so it's good for business and it's good for life. So go do it.
I love it, Eric. That's great advice. Tons of actionable strategies dropped today that people can implement immediately. Now, if people want to find you online, what is the best, where's the best spot to go?
Yeah, sure. Probably just our client facing site is probably the best. That's intransitstudios.com. I'm Eric at intransitstudios.com. I'm, you know, on LinkedIn and stuff. So yeah. And then the other thing is, honestly, like I'll, you know, so I don't do any teaching or coaching or anything like that, but I would definitely, you know, also recommend people to go to joshhall.co, Josh Hall, you know, 2Ls.co. So yeah.
Awesome. Well, we'll drop both those links in the show notes so people have easy access. And before we wrap up here, I got 3 quick fire questions for you. And if any of them don't apply, you can just say pass. All right.
Okay. Ready.
All right. Number 1, what's your favorite business or marketing related book?
Fix This Next by Mike Michalowicz.
Awesome. Number 2, are you following any CEOs or entrepreneurs right now?
Yes, several. Josh Hall, Mike Schmidt with Agency Coach would probably be the 2 at the top of my list.
Awesome. And last question, if you listen to podcasts, what's your favorite business podcast?
it's kind of business, Divi Chat, but that's only because I get to co-host it. But I do like Divi Chat. So if you design websites with Divi, check out Divi Chat. And then I like the Josh Hall web design show podcast.
Awesome. I love it. Well, thanks so much for taking the time today, Eric. This is a great episode and I've really enjoyed having you on.
Thanks for having me.